Good morning. It's good to be with you today here on this beautiful Sunday morning at Waverly Church of Christ. As you notice, I'm standing behind the pulpit, but our building is still closed. That does not mean that we cannot worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ in our own homes today, and hope that you're able to do that and pray that God blesses you in this worship. I have a message to share with you, and I want to begin with a statement that I think you already know, and that is we are living in what we are calling right now the new normal. What I mean by that is our actions and our decisions, for the most part right now, are being governed by this coronavirus, or what has come to be known as COVID-19. What that means is that we are staying at home, sheltering in place, as some states are calling it now. We're taking care of the necessities. We're seeing to the needs, the well-being of our families. But there is something else that God calls us to focus upon. And that's what I want to look at this morning, because he calls us to focus our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and our energies in a way that brings out the greatest good for us and for those around us. Let me take you back to a passage of scripture found in a letter that Paul writes to a young protege of his, a man by the name of Timothy. The passage is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17 and going through verse 19. And here's what he says. He says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but upon God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." And then he tells us, storing up for themselves a good treasure, a treasure of a good foundation for the future, taking hold of that which is life indeed. Now, as you hear these verses, in the first two verses, he addresses those things I've talked about. Number one is the focus of our hearts, our minds, our souls. Number two, and in verse 18, it's the focus of our energies, what we're doing as God's people. Let me take you back, first of all, to what he has to say about the focus of our hearts and our minds. He says that we are to instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. First of all, you may say, I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but truly you are. If you live in this country, by all accounts, you are richer than 90% of those who live in the world, simply because you have a bathroom, you have a car in the driveway, typically more than one car, and you have more than two or three sets of clothing. And what he says to those of us who are rich is not to be conceited. Do you know anyone that's conceited? That is, someone that thinks more highly of themselves than perhaps they ought, even looking down upon others. We have other words to describe such individuals. We may say that such a person is self-centered. That individual is arrogant. We might even say that such an individual is puffed up or stuck up. Yet you and I as Christians are called not to be this way. Because one of the things that Paul says in another letter in Philippians chapter 2, there in verse 3, is he says that we are to do nothing from selfishness or what he calls empty conceit, but that we are with humility of mind to consider one another as better than ourselves. You see, humility is the response to conceit, because in developing humility in our lives, we put others before us. And that is the way that God wants us to respond in this world. That's the way he wants us to think. But Paul adds to that, that the instruction is for those not to fix their hearts, their hope, upon the uncertainty of riches. It is true, we have been made very aware in the last few weeks of the uncertainty of riches. Many who've had portfolios worth varying amounts have saw those portfolios drop in value as our stock market has responded to our current crisis. Not only that, we've seen businesses close, doors locked because of the inability for those businesses to continue business simply because of the restrictions placed upon us by healthcare officials and our government. So it is that riches are uncertain. Solomon actually wrote in Proverbs chapter 23, if you'll notice there in verse 4, he says that we're not to weary ourselves with getting wealth or getting rich. And then in verse 5, he tells us why. He tells us, or he describes that wealth like a bird that has wings, and suddenly it flaps its wings and flies away. And he tells us that our wealth can be just like that. It's here today, gone tomorrow. So what are we to fix our hope upon? Paul says we fix our hope upon God, the one who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Or as James puts it, the giver of every good and perfect gift. You see, God is the one who gives us the ability to make wealth and to enjoy that wealth. He is the one that protects us and watches over us. And one of the reasons it's so important that we fix our hope upon God is because God is steadfast. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or as we find the psalmist putting it in Psalm 102, verse 27, he tells us there that God, you are the same. And he says, your years will not come to an end. That's our God. That's our minds. That's our hearts. That's where the focus of our soul should be. But what about our energies? Where are they to be directed? Well, he tells us, he says to Timothy, instruct them to do good. You know, Jesus went about doing good. That's Peter's assessment of him at Cornelius's home. Not only that, Paul wrote there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, that those of us who are Christians, while we have opportunity, are to do good unto all men, and he said, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. We are to look for opportunities to do good. And we are to do good not just to our own brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to everyone that we have opportunity to do good for. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, tells us not to neglect doing good. That's what God wants us to do. So that's the first part, do good. But also, he says, instruct them to be rich in good works. When you think of that term rich, we think of an abundance, whether it's monetary wealth or an abundance of something else. We as Christians are to be abundant in good works, rich in good works. As a matter of fact, do you realize that God, according to the Apostle Paul, created us in Christ Jesus? We are his workmanship, and he created us in Christ Jesus for good works. When you and I became Christians, good works became a part of our DNA. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's how we are recognized in this world, and it's the way that we live our lives. We are engaged in doing good works. Over the last few weeks, there have been several in our community, and especially in this congregation, who have done that very thing. There have been those who have taken it upon themselves to go and purchase groceries or to pick up prescriptions for those who do not need to get out during this time of testing. Not only that, there are others, some of our own ladies, who have used their sewing skills to put together masks that can be used over the N95 mask to protect our medical workers and those working in our nursing homes, to help them out during this time so that the masks they have will last longer. And then, and there are those that have worked down at our junior high providing food, handing out groceries to the families of students, school-age students. And one of my own favorite, one of our members, whose name I will not reveal, fixed a pot of soup and shared it with a fellow Christian. You see, these are good works, and we have those who are rich in good works, and that's what we are to do. And Jesus said that as we are doing these good works, our light shines in such a way that others see them and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So we are to do good. We're to be rich in good works. But then he says that we're to be generous. We're to be ready to share. Generous people have big hearts. They care about other people. But we have heard stories about those who have entered into various places of business, supermarkets primarily, and they have bought out all of the items of a specific thing, filled their vehicles up with it, emptied shelves, and left none or very little for those who might follow behind them, just needing a little bit for their families. People have labeled them. They've been called hoarders. You and I as Christians are called not to be such people. And the reason we do not respond in such a way is because we in humility consider others as better than ourselves. And as Paul says in Philippians 2 verse 4, we look out not just for our own interest, but also for the interest of others. What does that mean? That means that when we go into a grocery store, when we go into a large box store, as we might say, we purchase only those things which we specifically need for ourselves for the foreseeable future. We leave that which we do not need for those who will come behind us so that they can help their families. And what we're trying to do is to see that everybody has what they need, that nobody is left out. The reason that we're doing all this is because in this time of panic and fear, you and I as God's people are to be the voice of calm reason. We are to be the example of a loving response and loving concern for those around us. It's what God calls us to do. But why is all of this important? Well, if you look at the very last verse, we find the reason for that. And it's twofold. It's what Paul says in verse 19. He says, first of all, that we are storing up for ourselves a treasure. What he says is, he calls it a good fortune for the future. Jesus had another name for this. In his Sermon on the Mount, he called it treasure in heaven that we're laying up for ourselves. And in the very next verse of that sermon, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he said that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. There's another way to put this, and that is that we invest in that which is important to us. My question to you today is, what's important to you? Are the lives of those around you important to you? Do you care for your neighbors and your friends and even your brothers and sisters in Christ? And are you demonstrating that by helping them, by doing good, by being rich in good works, by being generous and ready to share? That's the way we should be. And not only that, in storing up and laying up for themselves, are we thinking about that which is important to our eternal soul? Because the second part of that, which the first brings about, that is by being generous and ready to share and laying up that good fortune for ourselves, he tells us that we are able to take hold of that which is life indeed. Life indeed. Jesus said that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. He came to give us that eternal life. Paul calls it here life indeed. Scripture in other places refers to it as eternal life. And Jesus defined that eternal life in John chapter 17, because there what he said is that eternal life is to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God? If you do, then your life should be evident with those things such as doing good, being rich in good works, being generous and ready to share. That's what the life that honors God is like. But if these things are not evident in your life, is it because you don't know God and you don't know His Son? If that is true of you, I want to encourage you today, come to know God. Come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be willing to repent of sin and turn away from it and confess Him in that sense as Lord and Savior of your life and be buried with Him in baptism. And if you need us to help you in that response, please contact us here at the Waverly Church of Christ. We'll be more than happy to meet you here at our building and to take care of that need. But for now, we want to thank you for being with us, and I pray that God's blessings will be upon you and yours while we continue through this time. Thank you.